pray for him. I hope he can make the trip all right. And he's going to be giving his testimony up there in the services. And pray. We always, just about always, have kids saved up there. So pray. And then I'll be driving home Saturday night, Sunday morning. And so let's go visiting Saturday morning, y'all. 9:30. Come and let's go visiting for a while. Amen.
Amen. We have not planned this. Amen. But the Lord sure is good. You want me to sing it? Okay. All right. Yeah, I feel like that couple Brother Danny has. Give me a mic. What's the guy? He says, I ain't got no mic. That's what I feel like. But I'm glad I'm saved, man. And I'm glad I serve a God as my personal friend tonight. You know, no matter who wins the election or no matter what goes on in Charlotte tonight, I've got a personal friend in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And my God still answers prayers tonight. Amen. He's been answering them for me. And the other night, the Lord answered something special for me. Here's something special. A guy just come up to me out of the middle of nowhere and just said, look, man, I just want you to know God's going to use you and your family in a special way in the next few weeks. And I know that sounds kind of quirky and weird, but I just believe it was the Lord. Amen. And you believe what you want to. I just think God's just answered a prayer for me. Amen. I don't know if this is right. We'll go for it. The Lord is not too busy that he can reach down and mend a broken heart. And my burden is not too heavy that he can't hear a plea of faith. God still answers.
Maybe you got something to pray about tonight. Let's just come and pray about it. You got something to pray about tonight? Got a burden on your heart? Burden for somebody? Let's just come and pray. God still answers prayer.
Satan has lost the battle. When to the Lord you humbly bow, God still answers prayer. If you feel that life is hopeless and the night has no end, there's hope for your hurting heart. For he will be there with you no matter what you're going through. God still life is hopeless and the night has no end. Well, there's hope for your hurting heart. For he will be there with you no matter what you're going through. God still answers. Battle, when to the Lord you humbly bow.
better be glad we've got a God that answers prayer. Amen. Lord have mercy. I ain't hardly kept up with this stuff, this political stuff much, and have been a little bit interested in it this week. And they said on the news yesterday that our national debt has now went over $16 trillion. Did y'all hear that? $16 trillion. That's $907,000 per hour since Jesus was born. $1 million an hour since Jesus was born. Wow. That's impossible to pay. Amen? It went up $5 trillion during George Bush's 8 years. It's gone up $10 trillion in Obama's 4 years. And no telling. This is just the beginning. In other words, you better put your faith in the Lord, brother. Better put your faith in the Lord. Because old preachers used to say, the bottom's going to fall out. Amen. I'm glad my faith's in the Lord tonight. It's not in the Democrats or the Republicans. And I'm my faith's in the Lord. All right, let's turn to First Peter chapter 2. And let's look at a verse of Scripture here tonight. It's called Doom and Gloom by some people. It's called Being Realistic by Bible Believers. Amen. First Peter chapter 2. And verse number 2. The reason people don't like you to say stuff like that is because their hope is in this world.
Yes, sir.
And they keep talking about the economy getting better because their hope's in money and things of this world. And I hope and pray it does. But that ain't, if that's where your hope is, you're going to be disappointed.
Right.
You better get your disappointments out of this world and put your hope in the Lord. 1 Peter 2, and look at verse number 1. Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile, and hypocrisies, and envies, and all evil speakings. That's enough preaching right there, ain't it? Let's get rid of all of our malice, all of our guile, all of our hypocrisies. You know, there's a lot more to being a hypocrite than what people think. And envies, being jealous of people. And evil speaking, just talking bad about people. As newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow. Grow thereby. I want to talk about growing a little bit this morning. Growing in grace. Growing in the Lord. I'm a firm believer that you ought to grow in the Lord constantly. A Christian should never quit growing. We're like one of those dinosaurs and stuff. They said them things never quit growing. Till something kills them, they just keep getting bigger and bigger. And that's the way a Christian is supposed to be. A football coach some time ago was asked a question, and he was talking to this football coach about the difference between regular professional football players and champions. And they said, what makes a champion in the NFL? You got all these hundreds, I reckon, I don't know how many of them they are, hundreds I guess, of players in the NFL. Why do some groups become champions and others do not? And here was his answer. He said, all pro football players give about 75% is what's expected of them.
Yep.
Showing up for practice, working out, right kind of diet. Do that. Those that do the other 25% become champions. He said, those that do what's not expected, those that go beyond the call of duty, those that do what they don't really have to do, are the ones that, and the same thing's true in Christianity. You know who really gets the victory and who the Lord really blesses and uses? Them that go beyond the call of duty. In other words, we don't have to fast. We don't have to pray. You could get by every day of your life just saying, Lord, help me today and bless my family and keep me safe and forgive my sins and be a good. You can get by a Christian in a Christian life like that. But the person who says, you know what? I don't want to just get by. I want something more. I want God's power in my life. I want God to use me. I want to be an influence on people. I don't want to just be an influence. I want to have an impact on people's lives. I want to make a difference in somebody's life. Then you've got to give the other 25%. And so we'll talk about that for a few minutes tonight. Just a simple little thought here tonight on how to grow in the Lord. how to grow in the Lord. I know people, you do too, that's been in church for 10, 20, some of them all their life, and are still babes in Christ. I have preached in churches, a lot of them. I travel all up and down these mountains and all of the little old bitty Baptist churches and some good sized ones and some big ones. And people are the same everywhere. And I found people that, honest to goodness, honestly, I know a church not too far from here, they was getting ready to have, they had a business meeting like we're going to have here tonight in a minute, and they was talking about Sunday school classes, and one woman had been in church about all her life, and they were talking about a Sunday school class, and she made the statement, she said, if I don't get to teach the class that I want, I'll just quit. And that woman, you know what she was saying? She was saying, if things don't go my way and the way I like them, I'll just quit church altogether. Like that's a threat or something, you know, like it's going to kill the church. It'd kill her. I mean, the church will survive without her, but she ain't going to survive without that church, spiritually. And I don't know where in the world people get that kind of reasoning. And when I heard that, I thought, well, there's one thing for sure. You've just answered that prayer for us. Ain't nothing to pray about. You don't need to be dealing with a Sunday school teacher. She needs to be in the nursery. One of them big pacifiers. Somebody who has the attitude. Somebody who has the attitude of, if I don't get what I want, I'll just... That proves one thing. They're in no shape spiritually to be in any kind of position in church, be instructing anybody in anything. Amen? Amen? That's a baby. That's a babe. That's a babe in Christ. Lord have mercy. I know a preacher friend of mine, some of y'all heard this, he's a friend of mine right now. He called me last week and he said, Brother Danny, he said, these people about to run me crazy. He said, a woman in our church, he said all the family's not coming back. They all quit. Another family quit. And I went and talked to them and she said, she told the pastor this. She said, your wife prayed for my husband to get cancer and die. He said, what? She said, that's right. Your wife, the pastor's wife, prayed for my husband to get cancer and die. He said, ma'am, she did not pray for your husband to get cancer and die. I think I told y'all about that. And the truth is, it's really, you'd be surprised how immature a lot of Christians are in churches. About 90% of what pastors deal with is immaturity in the church. It really is. Somebody mad about this. Somebody mad about that. We had two ladies almost got in a fight in the parking lot out there one Sunday morning. And almost, really. I think one had the door open, another car pulling in, and she slammed the door and said, get out of here. If you don't say something, step out here and say, well, they come in like that Sunday morning. Sit back there somewhere. And I got a phone call about 2 days later. And I said, well, I'll tell you one thing, Brother Danny. That way that woman acted, she knew good and well I was trying to park there. And she didn't. And I wanted to say, lady, come on. Is it the end of the world that somebody was trying? Couldn't you just park? Now, I mean, it's not. Ain't there something more important?
Yeah.
I mean, like if our buses was real low that Sunday, that's what should bother us.
Yeah.
If attendance was down, if nobody got saved and it was dry, that's what ought to upset us. Not somebody opening the door when we're... You see how Christians are? See how Christians are? I mean, people say, well, why don't God do nothing no more? Lord, I'm surprised He gets anything done.
Yeah.
Considering what He's got to work with. Us. Really, really, it's amazing. I can't believe the Lord gets anything done nowadays. As carnal and babyish and immature as God's people act.
Amen.
You know what she told me? She said, I just don't know if I'm going to come if she's there. I said, well, look, you're welcome. She wanted me, I think, to fuss at that other woman and run her off. And I ain't going to do it. I ain't going to do it. I ain't running nobody off unless they come to cause trouble. If somebody calls him here to cause trouble, I'll call the cops on you.
Amen.
But if you come peaceful and want to worship God, I'm not running you off.
Amen.
And we may have to get rough on you, but I'm not going to tell you you're not welcome. Now listen, people. God's people need to grow up.
Amen.
Now, and I'm going to tell you a little bit about tonight how that we can grow in the Lord. Listen, you ought to be more mature in the Lord tonight than you was 1 year ago today.
Amen.
Right?
Yep.
That's right. What if I had that little baby right there? that Beth's holding right there. What if I told you that baby was 10 years old? You'd say, I'll tell you one thing, if that thing's 10 years old, there's something bad wrong with it. But that's where a lot of Christians are. 10 years old and still on the bottle spiritually, can't feed theirself, can't take theirself, can't do nothing, have to be completely cared for by everybody else, spiritually speaking. And it shouldn't be that way. All right, let me give you just a little few pointers here tonight. Here's the way you grow in the Lord. Number one, you have to learn how to live in the Word. You got to learn how to live in the Word of God. In other words, you never stop growing as a Christian. Nobody in the Christian life has arrived. We're all students of God's Word. There are no graduates walking around down on this earth. We all are simply learning. That's why you've heard me say before, there's no such thing as a Bible scholar. A scholar is somebody who's mastered the subject. And there's no such thing as somebody who's mastered that. We're all students of the Bible. All of us. Me, the smartest man in the world who knows the Bible, is still a student of the Bible. You never stop growing. You never stop learning. And one of the biggest mistakes you can ever make as a Christian is get to the point where you think, I've arrived. I'm at the top now. I'm sort of kicked back and taking it. You're setting yourself up for a big fall and the devil working in your life. As a matter of fact, one of the biggest mistakes you can ever make is thinking that you're really, really right and that you're more right with God than other people and starting to have an attitude about it. That's a big, big mistake. Yeah. Did you know that great men don't even realize they're great? Amen. When a man starts realizing he's great, he ain't great no more. Amen. And I've seen that happen to so many preachers. And so many singers. You know, you see, I've known singers that, oh my goodness, they could sing and God used them and blessed them. And I'm telling you, they'd sing and the glory of God would be on them and all they thought about was giving glory to God and then not see them for 4 or 5 years and then go off somewhere and then somebody bragged on them and told them how talented and how wonderful they are. And the next time I heard them sing, it was just... They still got their talent, but it was like ding, 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 ding. Yeah. Beating on a bucket. Sounding brass and tinkling cymbal. Because it was like, you could tell. You could tell when they got up. It was all right, everybody listen now, how perfect these notes are. And everybody listen. Oh, I can hit that note, and that note, and that note. And the next thing you know, and you think, are you singing for the Lord, or are you just trying to show off your voice?
Yeah.
Now, I love to hear somebody's talented and sing, and I love that. But, brother, when you start thinking, everybody look at me, I'm great and I'm wonderful. You know, in a lot of church, that's the way it is. It's like a Christian American Idol, brother. It's just and the preaching's the same way. I've been in a lot of preachers' meetings, and I've seen preachers get up and try to out-preach each other and strut around like they're some kind of peacock or something. And brother, you know, all we are is a bunch of old sinners saved by God's grace that ought to be in hell. Now, if you ever get an attitude more than that, you're too big for your own britches. You ever heard anybody, some of you been from the country, you'll know this old saying, and somebody go off and they'd get rich or they'd come back to town or something like that, and they'd say, he walked down the street and wanted to speak to you, and somebody'd say, he got above his raising. How many of you ever heard that old saying? God above his raising? Yeah. Beware of that.
Amen.
Don't ever think that. You know, be like Dolly Parton, brother. Come and give back to the homeland. I ain't saying Dolly's right with God or nothing. She's more right than she used to be. But at least she never has forgot her roots.
Amen.
And she helps them people over in Sevierville and stuff. And that's the way a Christian are. Don't ever forget where you come from. Don't ever forget where God brought you from.
Right.
And don't ever, for heaven's sake, start thinking you're just a little bit above people because maybe God's blessed you with a nicer house or a little money or an education or a car. Maybe don't ever start thinking you're above other people. Live in the Word of God. Live in the Word of God. You know, a plant, these don't have to because they're fake. That'll preach, won't it? A real plant like this has to have sunlight to live. You put them in here in the dark, they'll die. That'll preach, won't it? These fake ones don't have to have sunlight. They look good all the time whether they have any sunlight or not. That's the way church people are. When you see a church prayer, you see a church or anything, you know what? You know how I know these plants are fake? Does they look too good? If they was real, there'd be a little spot here, a little spot there where a bug eats or something like that. Anything that looks that good can't be real. And it's the same way with people. You see somebody that's absolutely perfect, got it all together, usually they're artificial. Amen. You read your Bible, brother. Them people in the Bible had flaws. I mean major flaws. I didn't plan on getting off on all that. But plants have to have sunshine. A plant has to have sun or it can't live. And I'm telling you, a Christian has to have sunshine. The Lord has to shine on us. You have to have it. You have to have Him. I've been preaching since I was 19, and I'm going to tell you what I have to have. I have to have the Lord to shine on me once in a while. I have to. I cannot make it without it. I cannot preach without His. I don't see how a man just gets up and preaches a sermon that he wrote out or got out of a book in his heart. I don't see how you can do that. I have got to. One, I was joking about Bo. I told Smokey, I said, when I go up here to preach in Maryland, I stay in this little bitty motel called Charlotte Hall Motel. And it's one of them that I told you about. You can always tell when you're staying there. I wrote down about 15 things that you know you're staying in a really, really, really cheap motel. And I ain't complaining. It's fine with me. I'm fine. It don't bother me a bit. I forgot all them things I told you. You know, when they give you a real key to open the door, you know, it's not, you know, all of them nowadays have these cards you stick in. If you get a real key, brother, you're in for it. You know that. Amen. And, you know, and I, what was all them things I named off? Good night, I don't know. The inside of your room is cinder block, just painted.
Yeah.
You know, that's a sure sign right there. And the pillows are about this thick. It takes 8 of them to make a pillow. I mean, I got all my pillows and pile them up, and they're still flat pillows. And let's see. It smells like bug spray. That's one. And oh my goodness, I forgot. I had a whole bunch of them. The soap is about this big. This big soap. Have you ever tried to take a shower with one of them little bitty soaps? I drop it and pick it up and then I rub it like that. Little bitty bar of soap that big. And let's see, what else? There ain't no ceiling fan in the bathroom. There's a sign in the front lobby that says, "Police patrol these premises nightly." That's right. There's also a sign that says, "We rent rooms by the week." And then you go around to your room and there's grills. There's these little pickup trucks and grills sitting there where these guys stay there all the time and cook out and drink beer. That's where I'm going. I told Smokey, I said, "I'm bringing this boy with me." But he wanted Bo to come and give his testimony. I said, is it possible that maybe he could stay with somebody else besides me? And I don't mean that bad against Bo. I'll tell him that in the morning when I pick him up. He said, "Brother Danny, I'll try to work something out." He said, "We can't afford another motel room and everything." I said, "And you know why I said that? Because when I'm off preaching somewhere, I have got to have some time by myself. I've got to." So I'll just give him my car keys and say, "Brother, go somewhere. Get out of here." And when I go preach somewhere, or when I don't, I have got to have time. If you're going to grow in the Lord and stay right with the Lord, you've got to have some time by yourself, just you and the Lord. You've got to. That's what happens to a lot of women when your kids are born and you got kids and they're up. You know, you take a little boy, you can truthfully say, "I've worked from sun up to sun down," S-O-N. And, I mean, they'll take up all your time. But you have got to get time with just you and the Lord. And I don't know. I know these preachers that they take 2 or 3 people with them everywhere they go preaching and everything. But I can't pray with people sitting in the room. Them watching TV and flipping channels, me over saying, "Oh God, please help," you know, or I just can't. I mean, I have a hard time. I go up in the woods, or I'm going to go, I've got to get somewhere where I can say, Lord, I just want me and you, because I groan. And I say, I make weird noises. Amen. Amen? What the Bible says, groanings that can't be uttered. Oh, Lord help me. You know, I mean, I just can't do that with somebody in the room. I lay on the floor and I beg God to help me. I lay on the bed and beat the mattress. And you got to have some. You got to have some time with you and the Lord. And you will not grow in the Lord. You say, well, my kids keep me busy and everything, and God knows I'm serving. That ain't no excuse. That ain't no excuse. You've got to have time just you and the Lord. You've got to. And if you don't, I don't care if you stay up late. I don't care if you get up early. I don't care if you go in the back room and shut the door. You've got to get just you and the Lord. Anybody want to say something? Anybody want to say something on that right there? Or help us? You've got to. Live in the Word. Okay? I'll tell you, you've got to have that to grow. If the sun ain't shining on you as a plant, you will not grow. I'll tell you something else. You got to walk with God. You should be walking now better than you used to. You should know the Lord better. You should know the Lord better now than you did a year ago, or 2 years ago, or 3 years ago. You know the sad thing about most Christians? They're like, I think, a wasp. And they say that a wasp is bigger when it's born than any other time in its life. And that's true with a lot of Christians. When they first get saved, they don't miss a service. They love the Lord. They cry every time they come to church. They give their money. I mean, they're just all into it. They do anything. And then they go downhill from then on. And it ain't supposed to be that way. It shouldn't be. Up in Marion all those years, we had this whole bunch of young preachers. And it was always the young preachers and young people. It was really on fire for the Lord. And anybody that's been saved more than 5 years just slowly backslides and fades into oblivion somewhere. And it ain't supposed to be that way. You're not supposed to, quote, learn better after you've been saved 5 years and just back off your witnessing. I heard of a lady the other day who is having some problems, getting messed up, and her husband told me, he said the first thing she done is take her bumper sticker off her car. Bad sign. You know what that means? That means I used to be proud of that, and now I'm a little ashamed of it. That's what it means. I've learned a different approach. You shouldn't come on so strong. That's a sure sign you're getting backslid.
Amen.
Amen? And I'm not saying we should just be in people's face, but you know what I'm talking about. You watch this attitude of, well, I'm learning a different approach of witness, and I don't actually go approach people. I just let my life be a witness. I'm going to tell you, that's a wicked doctrine, and it's not scriptural. There's nowhere in the Bible where it just says, let your life be a witness. Your life is supposed to be a witness, but your lips are too. You're supposed to be a witness with your lips and your life. And your lips and your life are supposed to say the same thing. You say, your lips can't say one thing, your life say another. Amen? You got to walk the walk, you got to talk the talk. You're supposed to be a witness with both of them. But beware of getting, quote, mature in the Lord and not giving out tracts. Amen. When I led that boy the Lord over in the gym the other day, man, that was refreshing. That's getting back to what we ought to be. It helped me. You know why I love to go on bus route after I go? Because it helps me. I don't ever want to go before I go. But after I go, I think, man, that's refreshing. It just feels good to go to somebody's house and say, we'd like for you to come to church tomorrow. Just go to a restaurant and witness to the waitress or anything like that. It's refreshing just to go do what you did when you first got saved. You say, well, I've been hurt. We all been hurt. I've been hurt. Well, I've been disappointed. We all get disappointed. But you've got to keep your eyes on the Lord, folks, to grow and keep doing what you did do to get where you was if you want to stay growing in the Lord. You can't back off. You say, well, I used to read faithfully, Brother Danny, 5 chapters every day, and now I hardly ever read my Bible. And that's why I wonder why I don't get a blessing. That's part of it. You've got to do what you know you ought to do. Now, y'all are welcome to say anything or give a comment. Definitely. Yeah. Definitely. Definitely. Have y'all noticed how much the grass has grown this summer? I'm telling you, this has been a good summer to be in the lawn care business. I'm telling you what, buddy. I can't keep it mowed. It's unbelievable. Usually by this time of year, it's brown and you know, but I'm telling you, it's every week and sometimes twice a week we've been having them. It won't get dry long enough for you to mow it. I mowed it yesterday and it was wet. And left big old wads of it laying everywhere. And he's right, because the clouds and the rain, then the sunshine hits it. I'm telling you, it's on, brother. It's on. Anybody else? Right quick. All right. Now, you know what else you need to do? You need to pray. You need to live in the Word. You need to witness. And then let me say, you hear me say it all the time, you've got to attend church services regularly. Every time you miss, you lose ground. I was pouring gas in something the other day. I forgot what it was. Oh, things! I bought me a pressure washer. I've been wanting a pressure washer for 5 years and too tight to buy one. And I kept thinking, well, I'm going to run on me a deal one of these days. I'd borrow my son-in-law's, Wesley's. Every time I'd want to do it, I'd borrow his. And about once a year, and do around my house, the sidewalk and everything. I said, I'm going to get me one of these. Well, I found me one at the pawn shop. That it's sitting on the side of the road, and I pulled over and I made a guy offer on it, and he took it, and this thing is brand new. I mean, it still had the tags on it. I said, where'd this come from? I was scared to ask that about it. And he said, well, people buy them and then they lose their job. People buy them and they change their mind. He said, they probably didn't make the first payment on this, or maybe they husband, wife left them or something. He said, we just get stuff them all over. I said, well, it's all right, ain't it? He said, yeah. So I bought it from him. And that thing ran out of gas. I was cleaning my mom's house, pressure washed the whole house Monday. That's what we did Labor Day. Stayed home, worked all day. And it ran out of gas, and I took the gas, and I poured it in like that. I didn't realize how little the tank was. And, man, I could hear it coming. And gas just started just pouring. I poured out a fourth of a gallon out there. I went, that's like throwing $4 down and stomping it in the mud. And I jerked it up like that, and I thought, I lost that gas. You can't get it back. You can't scrape it up. That gas is gone. And that's the way when you miss church, when you let the devil get it, it's gone. You can't get it back. You can't. It's gold, like liquid gold gas is. You know, it's over $4 a gallon now. It's went up more. It's the highest it's ever been on Labor Day, ever in history. And it's $4 now, and if next summer, I'm telling you, they're going to lay it to us next summer. But it's just like losing that gas. When you miss church, when you don't do what God wants you to do, you lose ground. You lose ground. And it's just like playing football. In football, them two teams push. They push. And they're trying to push that guy back. He's trying to push him back. And sometimes they... Like if right here's a scrimmage line and the guy gets the ball, they literally push them back and they lose yardage. They was on the 40 and now they're back to the 35. They actually lost on that play. And it's the same way with pastoring a church. A lot of young preachers go pastor churches and they think, boy, I'll just preach and people will get saved and we'll shout to victory and all that. Well, that'd be nice, but you forget one thing, there's a devil. And every time you gain ground, he's pushing you right back and pushing you back. It's a constant, constant fight. And it's right way in your own Christian life. Don't you feel it? That you try to make a little progress and pray, and boy, you get pushed back. And then you try and you get pushed back. You try and you get pushed back. You fight. And this day and time, I've been doing this a long time, you fight for every inch of ground you get nowadays. The devil ain't giving you nothing. He ain't giving you nothing. Anybody want to say anything right quick? We're going to stop and have this little business meeting. I got a lot more I could say, but... Yes, sir.
The other day I was out doing some business, and it's pretty different people been down a little bit, wondering, maybe it ain't doing no good, maybe I should do it. When that happened, it dawned on me, the devil don't like it, so I'm going to keep doing it.
Amen. Amen. I like what Jack Hiles always said. One preacher told him, he said, "Are you running on buses, bringing all them people in here?" He said, "We don't like the way you're doing it." And he said, "Well, I like the way we're doing it better than the way you're not doing it." Amen. Amen. So don't worry. Somebody not doing nothing, don't worry about it. All right, we're going to stop right there. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Every head.